So then I said, fuck you, give me an ice cream sandwich.
That's when I put my pants back on.
And then I took mine off.
Yeah, welcome back. You're in the middle of a two-part series.
Ooh.
And we are going to wrap up with Black-Eyed Children.
Black-Eyed Children, yes.
But let's do Rob's beer plug.
Oh, yes, beer plug today, right now. Another Mad Tree Brewing. Please sponsor us. Somebody
yeah,
sponsor us.
We love beer.
Rubus Cacao.
Rubus Cacao.
Yeah. What? Mad Tree Brewing, Rheingeist, Warp Wing, Jackie O's.
And what'd you say that beer tastes like?
This is, it's like chocolate and raspberry. It's very, very good.
So it tastes like jam a little
it
bit?
It tastes like jam, yes.
Do you know the difference between jam and jelly? I can't jelly this dick up your ass.
that's so good.
That's real life right there. I just did that to you.
yeah. I don't think I'm ready for that jelly.
All right. So are you ready to learn about Black-Eyed Children?
I would love nothing more than to learn about
okay.
Black children.
So the Black-Eyed Children, they've been around since... we're going to try not to make this bad. We're also going to try and make this a little more rapid than the other episodes since it's the end of a two-part.
But. Yeah, we did go on for 15 minutes that's about right. nothing on the story right. yesterday, but it's cool.
Right. So Black-Eyed Children, they've been around since the mid to late 90s, where a gentleman by the name of Brian Bethel, he submitted his story, well, his encounter with the Black-Eyed Children to an online message board. At that time, I would assume that was really the only way of mass communication on
right.
the internet, as far as email and social network, that stuff kind of was a thing. But
yeah, and really. The cool thing about this urban legend, which I didn't know about, is that this is like a very recent thing.
It's recent, and it's
still ongoing.
It's universal. I mean,
right,
it's everywhere.
Right, exactly. Which is awesome.
Like, having,
doing the research, that's the first thing I came across. I figured this was going to be something, you know, back in like the 50s or 60s when people were doing a shit ton of drugs.
And right. Well, people still do a shit
now
lot
people
of,
do yeah. still do a shit ton of drugs. But.
Okay. Yeah. But Brian Bethel, he submitted a story of his encounter with the Black-Eyed Children. And this was in 1996. Brian said he went to a movie theater to pay his cable bill before his cable was going to get shut off.
Yeah, kids will get pissed if that happens.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah.
But he pulled up underneath the marquee light of a movie theater so he could have a little bit of light in his car to write the check. And while he was writing the check next to the drop box, two boys in hoodies walked up with hoodies covering their face. And they knocked on the window, and he goes on to say that it did feel a little weird that these kids were knocking on his window in the middle of a parking lot
right.
so late at night. And he cracked his window to talk to the kids, but he didn't roll his window all the way down. He just cracked it. And that's the
Can
thing.
Can you spare a dollar, sir?
Would you like to talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Dang it. I was going to make that joke later in the episode.
Yeah. So he cracks the window down. And one thing that all of the encounters have in common is that the instant that you are physically in front of the Black-Eyed Children,
yeah.
you get just a vexing feeling of just dread.
Just foreboding.
Just you want to die.
Right.
Just a cloud just comes over your entire body. And it's almost like a trance. And you kind of, like hypnotic, you lose control of, you do think you'll grab the door without, you know, necessarily wanting to grab the door.
Right.
But when he cracked the window, they said that they wanted to get into the Mortal Kombat movie that was playing.
And that's so fucking sweet.
Yeah. And that they didn't have enough money, and they wanted Brian to take them to their house so they could get more money. Well, Brian, being a real thinker, good on his feet, he saw that the last showing of Mortal Kombat had started an hour prior to that instant. So he immediately told them that they were going to be, by the time they got back, it just wouldn't make sense for them to go into a movie.
Right.
And that's when the Black-Eyed Children kind of looked around and they peered back at him. And that's when the marquee hit their face and he realized that their eyes were completely black.
Ooh.
No white in the eyes at all. They had olive pale skin.
So they were Limp Bizkit fans.
Right.
Westmoreland is my favorite.
Which is something they all have in common, is they all have is this pale olive skin and these just dead black eyes. And you can do a Google image search and see, you know, thousands of pictures of what people think they look like.
Right.
But that's the thing, is there's never been a confirmed, I don't know how you would confirm something like this.
Yeah.
But there's no pictures of black-eyed children per se. But if you do get online, you can look, and there's some videos you can find of in areas where black-eyed children are said to be a little more prevalent than others.
Mm-hmm.
There's like newscasts and with cornfields in the background, and there's, it looks like children of the corn, like kids sticking their head out of the corn.
Ah, fuck which, that.
Right. Right.
I'm good on that.
So these kids, they asked again, we really need to go see our mom.
Right.
And Mr. Bethel says, no, I can't help you guys. But then the kids become, I don't want to say increasingly forceful, but they kind of up their tone
more
a little
insistent.
Bit. Like, I really need you to let me in the car.
Right. And that's a common thing with all the stories that I've noticed as well, is that, and they make this point very valid, is that they have to have
permission
to come in, like vampires.
Just like vampires. So we'll later we'll get into what I think they are.
Right.
And it's definitely not vampires.
That's a bummer.
So now I'm going to take verbatim a story of a woman in Vermont that had a first-hand encounter with the black-eyed children.
Okay.
She's one of the only ones to come forward and say that she let them come into her home.
She done fucked up.
She fucked up for sure.
She fucked up real bad. I mean,
It's a motherly instinct when you have kids knocking on your front door in the middle of the night. You help them out.
Then Chris Hansen walks through the door.
Yeah.
Have a seat. We know that you just let these two creepy-ass 9-year-olds in your house. So what do you have to say for yourself?
All right. I'm going to start this story. Okay, let me start by saying that I know how hard this is.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to cut you off real quick. I want to kind of set the mood here a little bit. Give me one second.
Okay.
All right, there we go. That's a lot spookier.
All right. Let me start by saying that I know how hard this all will be to understand and believe. But now that things have taken a turn for the worse, I started looking for stories similar to mine, and I found this. I feel like I should share this story with someone, and your website seems like the right place. I made the mistake of letting the black-eyed kids inside, and now I'm worried that I might die because of it. I hope this will all be a warning to everyone who is ever in this position to not make the same mistake that I did. I live just outside of a rural town in Vermont. It's a tight-knit community where everyone knows one another, and people don't lock their doors at night. There's never been any need to. A little over a year ago, I woke up because I heard a loud banging on my front door. At the time, my husband and I lived in a small house on a dirt road just off the rural route into town. It was in the middle of a snowstorm, and the nearby hills got very slippery in the snow. I thought someone might have been in an accident and broken down. It happened before. When I looked out the window, I could see that our motion spotlight was on. I could see that there were footprints in the snow that had come from our road and into our driveway, but there was no car anywhere. The snow was still covering the road, and no one had driven on it for at least a couple hours. Our front door was obscured from the window, but I could see that someone was standing there. I wasn't sure what to think, so I woke my husband up just to feel safer. While I was telling him what was going on, and the banging on the door started again, and my husband went to answer it while I stood in the hallway. When he opened the door, there were two children standing in the snow, looking toward the ground. There was a boy and a girl, and they could not have been more than 8 years old. They were dressed strangely, and they had odd haircuts. The girl's hair was very long and straight, and the boy had a dated haircut that almost looked like a bowl cut. They weren't dressed for winter, and my first thought was they must have been Mennonites, naturally. Mennonite children, but as far as I know, there was never a large community of Mennonites near us. Thinking back on it, I know that my normal reaction was to seeing children in a snowstorm would have been to rush them inside and bundle them up with blankets and hot cocoa. But that's not how I felt. The children were very unnerving. They would not make eye contact, and when my husband asked them if everything was okay, they asked if they could come in. My husband looked at me like, what do I do? And I asked the kids where their parents were.
They'll be here soon,
is all they said. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning at this point, so the only reasonable thought in my head was that there must have been an accident or these kids got lost. As much as my instincts told me not to bring them inside, I did it anyways.
She done fucked up.
You fucked up, bitch. You gonna learn today, bitch. I went into the kitchen to make them some hot cocoa, while my husband took them into the living room. While I was fixing the kettle, I could hear my husband talking to the kids. He was asking them if they were okay, where they came from, how far they walked, if their parents' car was broken down, things like that. But they always answered,
"Our parents will be here soon."
They spoke in a singy, songy voice. They weren't afraid to be in a stranger's home at all. I started to notice that our cats, we had four, were all hiding except for Pigeon, who was in the kitchen with me. Crazy cat.
Solid
bitch.
Name.
Kids are probably upset because the house stunk. Normally our cats are very curious and friendly, and we have to be careful that they don't run out the door when we leave. This time, none of them even tried to see who was there or what they were doing.
Even the cats don't want to be there.
Just kind of strange. All the hair on Pigeon's neck was standing up and his tail was puffed up while we looked in the living room. When I bent down to pet him to see what was wrong, he hissed and started to growl and backed up until he hid himself under the kitchen island. I'd never seen him do that before. When I walked back into the living room, the kids were sitting on the couch, as still as can be, but my husband, he was holding his head in his hands. I asked him what was wrong, and he said that he felt dizzy. All of a sudden, he looked up. I turned back to the children to give them their cocoa, but when they looked at me, I gasped. It took everything inside of me not to drop the mugs and run away. When they looked up at me, their eyes were completely black. They had no whites, just giant black pupils. When they saw that I was scared, they stood up and asked if they could use the bathroom. I tried to be as composed as I could to be and showed them down the hall.
I gotta take a shit.
Yeah, bitch. They went into the bathroom together, and I hurried back to my husband to ask if he'd seen their eyes. He'd seen them too, and said it looked like his brother's badly bruised eyes after a car accident. We were in the middle of talking about whose children they could be when my husband's nose started to bleed.
God damn. Too much blow, damn it.
He never had nosebleeds as long as I'd known him. I just knew inside myself that something had happened and it had to do with the kids in the bathroom.
Of course. It took a shit that bad.
It made his nosebleed. I've done that before. I started to cry and I ran to get my husband some tissues.
I've done that before too.
That's when the power went out. I heard my husband yell my name from the living room, and as I started to walk back through the hallway, I stopped, dead in my tracks. The two children were standing at the end of the hallway. They weren't moving, and I had never been so scared my whole life. They just stood there in the dark. After what felt like forever, the boy said,
"Our parents are here."
And they walked to the door, opened it, and walked out, leaving it wide open. My husband jumped up to go close it and almost fell over. We looked out the window and saw two men standing by a black car, idling at the end of our driveway. The men looked like they were wearing black-colored suits and were very tall, at least 6 feet. When my husband waved at them, they just stared at us, got into the car, and drove off. Our power came on about a half an hour later, but nothing was the same after that. Over the next few months, three of our cats went missing. Not really that big of a fucking deal.
Right, cats suck.
We can only assume they ran away somewhere and never came back, but the worst thing was coming home to find Pigeon in a puddle of his own blood in the living room floor. He looked like he'd been vomiting blood, and the vet told us that he had some kind of hemorrhage. After my husband's nosebleeds become a regular occurrence, he went to see the doctor. He didn't know what to make of it other than dry nasal passages. But my husband was diagnosed with an aggressive skin cancer. When the doctor asked us if he used tanning beds, we both thought he was joking, but apparently this kind of melanoma is linked to overage of use of indoor tanning. The doctors think he'll recover, but don't understand how it got so bad so quickly. My husband has never worked an outdoor job and spends relatively little time in the sun. Since we let the black-eyed kids inside our home, I've also suffered from regular dizzy spells and nosebleeds on a regular basis. I've had other issues which I can't mention here, but trust me when I say that I'm suddenly in the worst condition of my life and no one can do anything about it. I know that all this is because I let the black-eyed children into my home. We've told everyone we could about the strange kids that showed up that night, but no one else saw them. And some laugh how scared how scared we were. They were just Mennonite kids. But we know what we saw. I wish my husband had never opened that door.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some exciting shit right there.
Yeah, that's the most, I don't know.
And this is the only case
documented. I think there's a couple other people that said they let him in, but this is the most notorious story about someone that let him in. So now it's time to dissect what the fuck we think these little shitheads are.
Ooh. That's a loaded question.
They're all the phenomenon of black eyed kids is all over the world. And right. I mean, you go overseas and the like pagan Irish culture, they're really big into fairies. And not these Tinkerbell shitheads, but fairies in that culture are fucking
vicious. They're vicious as shit. Right.
And they're in the pagan Irish culture, there's a certain kind of fairy that kind of grows up to the size of a child. And they have jet black eyes, and this is such a problem over there that is the job of the grandmother to check a baby for black eyes when it first comes out of the womb.
Oh, shit.
In order to alleviate someone younger in the family dying
from
seeing the eyes. So we could chalk it up to fairies. That's one explanation.
That's solid.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll make you sleep a little bit better.
But then there's also what we like to call priming.
Okay.
Priming is like pre-suggestions, and they're activated only by a certain stimulus. So if you and I walk past a scary house 1,000 times, and then finally we walk inside of it, and we hear the slightest noise, it's going to be amplified in our brain.
Right.
Because we've walked past this scary fucking house 1,000 times.
Yes.
That's the thing about priming is people have probably read stories or kind of, you know, immersed themselves with the legend of black-eyed children. So then they naturally got kids that needed help in the middle of the night that knocked on their door, and kind of all this stuff came together, and these series of events triggers the stimulus in your brain to think something's going on that isn't really going on. I guess it's kind of along the same lines of like the Mandela effect.
Right.
Sinbad.
Yeah.
Which was a fucking movie.
That was a movie. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I watched it.
Right. I don't care what anyone says either. But.
And it's Berenstain Bears, not Berenstain Bears. I don't care what the books say.
Yeah.
You ever seen that one? I want to do an episode on parallel universes. That's a big thing where the Berenstain Bears books is it actually a parallel universe?
Yeah.
But it's really Berenstain, which it really is.
Yeah.
But I don't give a fuck what you say.
All right. So here's what I think.
All right.
And this is some deep shit. This is where I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay. So I'm ready.
If you go back and you look into people that have encountered UFOs and aliens and been into close quarters with alien spaceships, all of these people have one thing in common. Well, they have a lot of things in common, but one of them is radioactive poisoning.
Okay.
So essentially, these people are saying that anytime they're near an aircraft or an alien, they experience an overexposure to radiation.
Okay, right.
Which one of the symptoms is skin cancer, nosebleeds, and something they like to call moon rash, which is just where like your entire body breaks out, almost like a chicken pox style rash, even though I don't think chicken pox are still a thing.
I think it is, but I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah. Also, when these people are abducted by aliens, they speak a lot about the alien grays, which when you watch movies and documentaries, that's normally what an alien looks like, is they're small gray figures with black eyes.
Yeah.
The thing about aliens and their abductions, when you hear about them, they never ask for permission. You get ripped out of your fucking...
Yeah, they don't need permission.
You get ripped out of your bed.
Right.
Or something like this.
Yeah, they don't give a shit. They have no sense of...
Yeah, but that's the argument, is it's not aliens, because aliens wouldn't ask for permission unless this is some type of... one thing a lot of people have in common that have been abducted say when they go on the spacecraft, they see a humanoid alien hybrid that these aliens have, I guess, genetically created.
From probing our asses.
From probing our asses. Yeah. And it looks exactly like a human with slightly off features, but with pale olive skin, just like the black-eyed children.
Right.
Large black eyes, just like the black-eyed children. And they look to be a little dated for the time. Kind of goofy outfits, goofy haircuts, which, just like black-eyed children.
Okay.
But when you try to debunk the permission thing, the thing about that is aliens, you have to assume they wouldn't know everything about our culture. Mm-hmm. So when, I guess, the aliens wouldn't be able to move past the fact that they can't do something without permission if they were trying to be more human. So it's almost like it's an attempt at perfect human etiquette to get into someone's house. And by being persistent over time, that's another attempt at human etiquette that they're not completely sure about.
Okay.
So I chalk the black-eyed children up to fucking aliens.
I guess it's a solid theory. I think it makes sense.
If you put all the cards together,
right,
that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
Or my theory is they are vampire Jehovah Witnesses.
The thing is, you can make these kids go away.
True.
By answering the door naked.
You might get arrested.
It's the same. It works the same way with Jehovah Witness.
Right.
But you want to know how I solve the issue of the black-eyed children? Here's what you do. Get your pajamas, and you put a pocket knife in your pajamas like every other corn-fed hillbilly in fucking America, okay? And when they open the door, you stab them in the fucking head. Right in the fucking head. You put them down. Just Rick Grimes.
Put them out the pasture.
Then when they're on the ground, you stomp on them. And then you take a piss and you drag their bodies to the National Enquirer. And then you get fucking paid. And you play in your money because you killed a black-eyed child. And then you get arrested because it probably wasn't really a black eye.
It was Timmy three doors down.
It was just your brain playing tricks on you.
You'd gotten into some bad weed that night.
Some kid trying to collect donations for his grandma knocked on your door wearing sunglasses, and you put a fucking blade in his cranium.
That's probably how it would end up. It would just be one of my own kids that I stabbed.
That's the thing is, you got to keep a pocket knife in your pajamas.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing bad that could happen from that.
Ultimately, I just would like to say, if you ever encounter black-eyed children, don't let them in your fucking house.
Simple as that. Or in your car. That's the common thing. Most things that I've seen, your car or your house, they're not going to fuck with you while you're on a date.
Unless you're like Rob and I, and you're always down to fucking party, and I would most definitely let them in.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see.
Just to see what the fuck would happen.
I would ask them questions. I would interrogate them. I'd say, hey, look, douchebag, I know what you are, and this is impenetrable. You're not breaking down this fucking barrier right here. You're not getting inside my cranium.
No.
Tell me what you are. Tell me what you know about Right Pat.
Oh, God. Please. Because you know something. Yeah,
tell me everything.
All of it. Every last bit.
But if it is aliens, then you have to... What kind of research and experiments are they even trying to do? Like, why are they trying to involve themselves with us if it's kind of like... It would essentially be a waste of time to them.
Yeah, if all they're doing is coming down here and giving us cancer, I mean, what's...
Moonburn.
Moonburn, yeah. What really is...
And if you subscribe to the more spiritual, paranormal side of it, then a lot of people chalk it up to demons trying to mask themselves in a way that we...
Sympathize with.
Yeah, we let them in a little easier than we would if, they were, I guess, coming along in the more traditional form.
Which that's I would say that's plausible.
Like, I do not buy into a lot of conspiracy theories. I barely believe aliens. I've had one ghost experience. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, I definitely believe in aliens. There's, I mean, but probably not as what the normal person would believe.
I shouldn't say I don't believe. I can't definitively say that they exist or no.
The universe is too vast for us to be the anomaly. There's nothing
that makes it official for me.
Right.
And I don't buy into, like, Bigfoot, because I've never seen a fucking Bigfoot.
Yeah.
But demons.
Bigfoot was, it was based off of a creature that did exist.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the name of it was. I'll have to look that up. But that's died out a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's more of the cool stories and just the entertainment of the whole
that's what we're doing.
Conspiracies.
But I do. I feel strongly about demons and like demonic entities and being consumed by demons.
Possessions.
I feel very strongly about that. Oh, that stuff is 100% legit.
Supernatural, anything supernatural, I believe is definitely 100%.
So I wasn't completely convinced that ghosts were a thing until just a few short weeks ago. We are going to have an episode of firsthand experiences with ghosts where we're probably going to take your stories.
Yes.
We're going to have our own stories, and we're probably going to have a couple guests on the show for that one.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I know a lot of people have really good stories. I thought mine was good, and then I have some buddies that can...
Does Michael Shreves have a Facebook?
He does, and he needs to get on that episode.
And we can call him out right now?
Yes. You hear me, Michael Shreves?
He's coming.
You can put down your fishing rod for a weekend.
If he's coming, I'm coming for sure. Wait a second.
Ooh. Yeah, we got to get him on here. We got to get him to talk about his experiences that happened to him, because it's
sickening,
creepy, and amazing at the same time. It's straight out of a movie. I love that dude.
All right, so I think that wraps up the second part two.
Yeah,
one of two. This is two of two,
or episode three.
Well, yeah. However you want to look at
however.
It. We try to not stretch this out as long. But again, guys, please like, share, subscribe. And I did order some stickers today. I didn't tell you that. Ooh. I ordered some Brohio podcast stickers, and there's going to be a little thing going on here soon where if you send us a screenshot of you leaving a good review of the podcast, which is complete bribery, we're going to send some stickers to you.
I'm not above bribery.
No, I'm all about... you know, making this thing awesome.
Yeah, so we're gonna grow the Brohio Nation as large and hard as we can.
Yeah, so Brohio Nation, have a great week. I think we're gonna be coming back next week with some nuclear war shit.
Yes.
Kim Jong-un. I'm serious, like we've talked about some scary stuff, but what you're gonna hear next week is gonna make your spine just go fucking sideways.
And your asshole suck inward.
Yeah, because all this stuff is kind of like... everything we've talked about up to this point is kind of like, but nuclear war, that son of a bitch,
it's a thing.
He just launched a missile today, another one. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to discuss. And we're going to blame it all on George Bush or Obama. Probably Obama. So. All right, this is the Bros of Ohio signing off. I'm Nick.
We love you.
I am Rob.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you very much.